Well, here we are at the conclusion of this series, Relationship Hinge Points, putting faith resources to work in our relationships, right? And this last one, some have said, should have been the first, because as you heard, as I talked to the kids, it's at the heart of all we say and do as Christians. And therefore, certainly it's the hinge point, you know, for how we conduct ourselves in all our relationships. So please repeat after me, I put God first. Great, thank you. Now, our roots for this understanding go way back to the Shema Israel. Shema Israel means, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And then it goes on also, and Jesus was quoting this Shema, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your strength. These words, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, are the first words every Jew is to say when they wake up in the morning and the last thing they say before they go to sleep at night. And all Jews hope that the last words uttered from their mouths are those words, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And that's the heart of our faith too. The Shema goes on with those words that you see there. And Jesus says, this relationship is at the hinge point of all relationships. He makes the connection. In Leviticus, he says this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that our relationship with God and our relationship with each other is all of a piece. Right? And the point is this, we actually have a relationship with our God. We're made in the image of God, right? And God is as close to us as our shadow. I have one up here. And the only time we don't have a shadow is when we're in the dark, right? When we were kids, I remember we'd try to figure out how to cut our shadow off or jump away from it, you know? And you can't. It's with you, isn't it? And the same thing is true with our relationship with God. It is that intimate to us. And even when you can't see it, God is present to us. But you know, there's nothing sweeter than having a close, intimate relationship with God. And let's take a look at Tevye's relationship with God from the musical Fiddler on the Roof and check out how he has that relationship.
Dear God, was that necessary? Did you have to make him lame just before the Sabbath? That was nice. It's enough you pick on me. Bless me with 5 daughters, a life of poverty. That's all right. But what have you got against my horse? Really, sometimes I think, when things are too quiet up there, you say to yourself, let's see, what kind of mischief can I play on my friend Tevye?
So you're finally here, my breadwinner.
I'll talk to you later.
So why are you late today?
His foot went lame.
Well, hurry up. The sun won't wait, and I have something important to say to you.
Still have some deliveries in the village.
You'll be late for the Sabbath.
I won't be late.
You'll be late.
I won't be late. I won't be late. If you ever stop talking, I won't be late.
You can die from such a man.
As the good book says, heal us, O Lord, and we shall be healed. In other words, send us the cure. We've got the sickness already. Well, I'm not really complaining. After all, with your help, I'm starving to death. Oh, dear Lord. You made many, many poor people. I realize, of course, it's no shame to be poor. But it's no great honor either. So what would have been so terrible? If I had a small fortune.
If I were a rich man.
Well, that was representative of life in 1906 in Russia before the revolution, and in this little town of Anatevka, which is a godforsaken place it looked like, but there was God with Tevye, wasn't he? And, you know, as you can tell, he's a man of his time and his culture, but at any rate, he has this relationship with God that he can just talk about everything. What a good thing. And if we could just fall in love with God and stay in love with God like that and have that kind of relationship like Tevye does with God, if we could manage to get that right, you know what? Everything else will fall into place as well. So how do we go about having a relationship with God? Well, it's a relationship with challenges like any other relationship. There was this guy who was pulled over for speeding, for instance. The cop says, okay, I've had a bad day. This is my last stop of the day. And I'm going to let you off if you come up with with an excuse I've never heard before. So the guy thinks quick, and he goes, oh, my wife ran off with a cop last week, and I was afraid it was you, and you were bringing her back. Well, relationships have challenges. They do, you know. The Bible uses this image of marital relationships, spousal relationships, a lot to talk about a relationship with God. So let's pick up that metaphor a little bit this morning and see where it leads us. Now, how many of you have read the book, The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman? Oh, great, you guys all have an opportunity to read this thing. It's a good book. And it's not, you know, it's like, it's just one image of how life is in relationships. But in this one, Gary Chapman says, we all, in all of our relationships, we all crave love. We long to receive love and give love. But we're all made a little bit differently. And so we haven't all learned to give and receive love in the same ways based on our family of origin, where we come from. So as we move through these five love languages, I'm just going to describe them briefly. Think about seems to be the primary language for you. So the first one is words of affirmation. You know, the way some families fill up each other's love tank, so to speak, is by saying nice things to them and about them. You know, oh, you did such a nice job cleaning up the kitchen, or that was a great meal, or I love the way you sing around the house, or I appreciate how you encourage your teammates on the soccer field. Or, you know, this is a tough time, but we're going to get through it. Words, that kind of love language. The second one is called quality time together. And so for people with this as their primary love language, they might say, it's nice to hear good things from you, but it would mean a whole lot more to me if we set a date once a week so that we could be together and just have quiet time together. Or if we just at least, you know, curled up and watched a movie together, even if it's Seattle, Sleepless in Seattle for the 100th time. Just something, you know. Well, the third one, the love language, is giving and receiving gifts, right? In some families, the most meaningful way that you show love is you're thinking about them is by bringing a surprise gift home, even a little thing, flowers occasionally, when you maybe come home from a trip or whatever. It's a way to say, I saw this and I was thinking of you, right? Could be simple, could be expensive. But it doesn't always have to be Astros tickets for their pennant series. Isn't that going to be happening, right? Okay. Let us pray. Yeah. All right, well, I think it will happen. Well, the fourth language of love that Chapman talks about is this, acts of service. Mowing the lawn, cooking dinner, taking out the garbage, cleaning out the litter box is really a sign of love, right, for these families. For this person, they might say, I don't care what you say or what gifts you give me, do something to show you love me, right? That's this love language. By the way, I forgot what Emily's was. Isn't that bad? So in a minute, I'm going to invite you to raise your hands. And all of you who have relationships, spousal relationships, you probably want to pay attention to where your partner raises their hand. You know, just a clue. But at any rate, so Emily's happened to be this one. Acts of service. And I went, phew, that's right, because it's the same as mine. All right. So Chapman's fifth love language is this, physical touch. Okay. Simple touch, hugs, kisses, physical intimacy, that's the primary love language for some people. Just sitting in church holding hands sometimes for some people can just fill up their love tank. Isn't that cool? It's a beautiful language of love. So those are Chapman's five love languages, right? And his premise is we need to identify and learn to speak our partners and our friends and our kids' love languages. So let's do the quick poll. Now pay attention, everybody, to who else raises their hands about what. Of course, we can all communicate a little bit in all these languages. We're not, you know, unilateral. But for you, what's your most natural way to give and receive love? How many of you is it the first one, words of affirmation? Okay. How many of you is it quality time together? Yeah, okay. All right, how many of you is giving and receiving gifts? All right, enthusiastically. And acts of service. Okay, lots of those. And physical touch. Okay, all right. So again, we all have some of these, but we have this primary one, and it's good to pay attention to what that is with our loved ones. All right? But also, it gives us a clue as to how we can expand our ways of speaking love to each other. Because I'll tell you this, show me a relationship that just has one love language it uses all the time, and I'll show you a relationship that has plateaued and is going to be fading and be in trouble. Because we need to have creative, different ways of expressions. Show me a relationship that experiments with all these kinds of love languages, even though they're not their primary and most comfortable one, and I'll show you a relationship that's growing and thriving. Okay? So, let's take a look at all that and apply it to our relationship with God. Because it is a relationship like any other, right? Okay, so what strikes me is that these five love languages that Chapman talks about have a corresponding thing within our Christian life and the things that Christians have done for centuries to relate with God. So let's take a look at that. Words of affirmation. What about worship? Isn't that what we do when we worship? We come and we hear God's love for us. You're a child of God. We have the water of baptism there. And you are forgiven. You are made new. You have a fresh start. And I'm going to be with you, whatever you go through. We hear that language all the time. And then we respond to it with praise songs, right? And I hope you realize that when you're worshiping God, praising God, or singing those songs, whether you're belting them out or whether you're whispering them because you don't think you sing so hot, it doesn't matter. I hope you remember that you're singing those to God. To God. That's what we're doing. Your relationship with God, you're practicing in it. You're opening it up right here and now in this service. Okay. So then the next one. How about this? The quality time together. Well, to me, that's kind of like our private, personal prayer life. And there's nothing finer than to have time with God. Maybe it's like Tevye for you, that you talk to God all the time. That would be awesome. Or maybe, like me, you have to have a set time. So for me, it's 5:30 in the morning when the house is still quiet, that I get sit in the front room and I light a candle and I read my Bible and I pray and I can talk to God about whatever's been going on in my life. I ask God to help me with this day and be with me, and I can share whatever's going on that I can't tell sometimes to anybody else, but I could tell God. That's a good time. And what a good thing. There's something about that kind of quality time that you can't experience anywhere else in life, no matter how good your relationships are with people. Okay, how about giving and receiving gifts? Well, to me, I think of offering right away. Expressing our love to God in response for all that God does for us. God who provides for us abundantly, extravagantly, and if not extravagantly, at least gives us what we need all the time. And we love God so much, we want to say, here, God, I want to give something back to you. I have this friend who told me this last week about his teenage son. He has three sons. And two of the sons, the older ones, are high achievers, and they thrive on the love language of affirmations. They're great athletes. They're good at school. Everything is awesome. This kid is not that way. He's a quieter kid. He doesn't get into all that stuff. So Dad realized, there's this realization that he just needs to have this kind of quality time with his dad, and that's what affirms him. So Dad bought him a special hunting knife a couple years ago, and they go hunting, deer hunting, and he uses it. He keeps it sharp. He keeps it well cared for. He loves that knife that his dad gave him. It was so special. And he told me that last fall when they went deer hunting, Dad lost his knife out in the woods. He could not find it. He was so upset because he loved that knife of his. And so his son took off his belt and said, "Dad, here, I want you to have mine." And Dad said, "Oh, come on now. No, you don't have to do that. I bought that for you. And, you know, I can buy another one. It's no big deal." And the kid said, "No, Dad, I want you to have this one." Isn't that something? The language of love. Well, how about that that one, giving and receiving? That's to me is offering. That's giving and receiving. And when we love God so much, we just want to give something back, and God says, "Oh, you know, I've got everything." You don't have to do that. And we say, "But God, I want to give you this. Here, take this. Thank you." And then there's this language of the next one, acts of service. Well, that seems a little clearer. You can find all sorts of ways to do this partnering with God. Around here at church, my goodness, Habitat for Humanity. You can be a teacher. We're, you know, as we commission our teachers for Sunday school and mentors for our youth program, and be adult leaders of Bible studies. You can get involved with the Hands of Faith store. You can become part of the technology committee and help serve with worship services. I'm plugging some of the things that people have asked me to plug lately. And Altar Guild as a family. Wouldn't that be cool? So there's and then there's things outside of here within your community. There are a lot of people among us who serve in community service organizations. That's great. And at our work, in our jobs. Last night, we went to a retirement party for one of our members, and I was so touched by this. People got up and came to the mic to express their appreciation for this guy and how he had given himself to them unselfishly for so many years. And many of them got up and said, "If it hadn't been for you, I would not have made it in my career." And they told specific stories about how this guy had been there for them and guided them unselfishly and given them what they needed to succeed in their jobs over so many years. It was just like, wow, how cool is that? Acts of service, huh? And then the final one, touch. How about touch? Well, you know what? To me, that corresponds with number five, with this whole thing of the tangible signs, means of grace, we call them, the sacraments, right? Just think about this. When we come into worship, we always have the baptismal font. We remember our baptism once a month, and sometimes it's up here, and you get to put your hands in that water, and when you do, it's that tangible sign of God's love for you when you were baptized and became a child of God. And you get to do that all the time. And then we have communion here all the time. What is that? Jesus says to us, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you." Tangible signs of God's love. Eat and drink. And when I see you guys kneeling at the rail after you receive communion, it's so touching to me to see what real relationships you guys have going with God. This giving and receiving of love between you and God as you kneel at this altar railing. It's very powerful to see that. Well, so think back to your primary love language. And let me ask you, are you using that with God? And if not, why not? Think about that. Because as in any relationship, too, there's a vitality, a thriving and growing relationship when you use that primary language, but also when you look at the other ones up there and ask yourself, maybe this week, what you could say is, which one of these do I need to expand and grow on that maybe is not as easy for me to do with God, in my relationship with God? What's one of them that I want to spend some more time on so that I can grow in my relationship with God so that it can be thriving, right? Because this relationship is the hinge point of all relationships. All of life swings on this hinge point. And when we get this relationship right, there isn't anything we can't handle with God's help. And let's see how that works out for Tevye in one of the more challenging situations in his life where his very role as a father and his understanding of his role in life is being challenged.
tradition, and not even asking permission from the Papa. What's happening to the tradition? One little time I pulled out the thread, and where has it led? Where has it led? Where has it led to this? A man tells me he's getting married. He doesn't ask me, he tells me. But first he abandons you.
He's not abandoning me, Papa.
As soon as I can, I will send for her and marry her. I love her.
He loves her. Love. It's a new style. On the other hand, our old ways were once new, weren't they? On the other hand, they decided without parents, without the matchmaker. On the other hand, did Adam and Eve have a matchmaker? Oh, yes. They did. And it seems these two have the same matchmaker. They're going over my head. Unheard of. Absurd. For this, they want to be blessed. Unthinkable. I'll lock her up in her room. I couldn't. I should. But look at my daughter's eyes. She loves him. Tradition! Well, children, I've decided to give you my blessing and my permission.
Oh, thank you, Papa.
What else could I do?
I'll tell you, keep talking. That's the way. Repeat after me. I put God first. And when we're doing that, everything else, I guarantee you, just like for Tevye, will fall in.